Hey folks, this is LB from Golf DMV. As many of you know, I've had neck and lower back issues for a while, but I found a chiropractor who's been able to keep me in the game. Her name is Dr. Smith at Cache Sport and Spine. She's conveniently located in Silver Spring, Maryland, just outside the Beltway. Dr. Smith has made a huge difference in my flexibility and pain management. If you need a chiropractor, do yourself a favor and contact Dr. Smith and her staff at 301-641-5693 or online at cachesportspine.com. The official chiropractor of Golf DMV.
So I feel like I need to do a real special kind of introduction because it's the show before Halloween. I really enjoy the Halloween holiday. Are you guys into LB? Are you into Halloween at all?
I hate to hesitate. 50%
out. Okay, you're halfway in. Vern, what about you? Are you a big Halloween dude?
0%.
Okay. Really?
0%.
I mean, I do the horror movie. So the moment October begins, I try to do one horror movie a day. I watch one a day for the most part. I'm a fan of the Halloween series, Michael Myers, Jason. I like the classics, Freddy Krueger, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's the week of Halloween. So I feel like we've got to set the stage. And so here, you guys let me know how scary this is, okay?
Okay.
We're part of a group. You know, it's me, LB, Vern, and whoever's listening on the other side, you're part of our foursome, right? And we are close to winning this championship as a, you know, this scramble going on, and LB smokes, you know, the driver down the middle of the fairway. Vern, this is a par five, so LB smokes it down. He's right in the middle of the fairway. Vern goes ahead and hits the second shot, probably 20 yards from the green. Hmm. Our foursome, which is you, whoever's listening to this right now, it's you three, and it's us three and you. You chip it within 4 feet of the hole, and now Claude has to putt it in. That's a horror movie, ain't it? That's a golf horror story.
That's a two-putt par is what that is.
I'm going to start asking about the rules. Like, does he have to? Can we rotate it?
Right.
And everybody's dream of winning this four-person scramble against Tiger, Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau, and Brooks Koepka rides on me making a four-foot putt.
Right.
Happy Halloween, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm going to miss it. we all know it. This Golf DMV, we got a lot to talk about, you know, once we get through some of this foolishness. We've got LPGA update and Olivia Millions coming up. Vern and some of the coaches were at 1757. We'll talk about that. Vern hit a house, and he's got a couple of updates about that. Also, we've got, you guys played a round of golf this morning. I was told to just ask LB about the round this morning. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, there's got to be a story behind this. And so I'm not even going to ask, you know, any kind of questions on a text message. But I want to do two things first. I want to read an email from our buddy. So I asked him, or we said on the show, to send us how to pronounce your name. Is it Nene or Nene? Like, how do we pronounce it? It's N-E-N-E. But he's our buddy. I mean, he bought a mask. And all stuff.
Yep. Yeah, I would say give him the he played for the Wizards, right?
Yeah, Nene. Right. Yeah.
Go with Nene.
We'll go with Nene. There you go. And so he says, LB, I received, talking about the mask, I guess, received. Okay. Again, thanks for the work on that. Can't believe you hand-stitched that joker by hand. Appreciate
it. Yes, sir.
By the way, if anybody wants one of those or any other products, I mean, we've got fall and winter coming up. We've got the beanies and stuff like that. You can go to golfdmv.com. And you can search the store there, or you can go to Golf DMV Podcast. It's going to forward you to golfdmv.com. One way or the other, you'll be able to purchase that stuff there for very affordable prices for your golf fall and winter pleasure. He goes on to say, also, just an FYI, I played four courses in Williamsburg a few weeks ago for a golf weekend. Pretty inexpensive for the weekend, all things considered. Four 18-hole rounds plus a four-bedroom condo for $390 per person. Love the interview you guys did with Maurice Allen. Thanks. And so thank you so much for emailing, Nene. And email us back with what courses you played and your review of those courses and how you did. He left out some of the most important information that we talk about here. So what were the courses? How did you play? And what condition were they in? And we talked about Williamsburg, Virginia. I love going there. It's an excellent golf destination. Mm-hmm. Very underrated here in the DMV.
They don't have any strip clubs, though.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll move on from strip clubs. I'm sorry, Vern, go ahead. You were about to say something else.
Wait, what's the name of the course that they do the LPGA at?
Kingsmill.
Down there?
Oh, Kingsmill. I'm sorry, LB.
Kingsmill.
Yeah, Kingsmill. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They play the River Course, I think. They got the Plantation Course there and the River Course. Yeah. Kingsmill, by the way, we were talking. I was in contact with some folks there about getting us down there and a possible sponsorship. And so this might be the last time we mention them until they start forking over some money to be mentioned on Golf DMV. Or at least bring us down there for a free weekend stay and play, and we'll talk about the course. We even broadcast live there. Because, listen, people are looking for great golf shows here in the DMV, which brings us to the Capital Long Drive Classic. We'll have more on this later when it airs on the Golf Channel, but we were sought after. Mm-hmm. We were part of the Washington, D.C. media, sports media, that was sought after to be at this event. And we were there down on West Potomac Park, which I'm mistaken for East Potomac Park, where the golf course is. However, I still got there before Vern.
From behind, too. Granted, for those who don't know, I'm basically 15 minutes away with an hour to go. So I'm like, I'm gravy. This is golden. Then the texts start coming in where it's like, you know, LB's like, hey, parking West Potomac Park is trash. And then Klaus like, you sure it's there? Because I don't see nothing. I think it's East Potomac. The thing says this. So then I'm late. I'm struggling. I'm like, I don't know whose text to follow. I'm going to be wrong. It's going to be a whole thing.
The fact that I was there should be an indication that I may have been right.
Probably.
Meanwhile, we were sought after. We were pursued, and we came through for DC events. Our buddy Brian there, our buddy Lawrence there, they reached out to Golf DMV, and Golf DMV came through. It was a great event. So we had a chance to speak to all the players there. Mm-hmm. I mean, from we had Maurice Allen on the show already, but a lot of Tim Burke was there. Yeah. Shasta Avery Hart was there. Mm-hmm. Troy Mullins was there. I mean, there were so many of some of the folks that we've watched on television that was there. Apparently they recorded it. They did a kids clinic at East Potomac early in the morning. When they came there to do the long drive competition, it was filmed and going to be played back on Golf Channel. But what I want to do is talk a little bit just about the experience of being there and being around some of these folks who we've seen on television. And so I want to start with Vern, because Vern, you know, long drive is what got you interested in golf, period.
Right.
And so talk a little bit about what it was like just to kind of be there, you know, behind the ropes. Fans couldn't be there because of COVID-19. Right. But of course, we're well sought after media. And so we were able to be there. We had credentials. That's shout out to Beltway Golfer. He was there as well. Yes. I like that guy. He's a nice guy to be around.
Yeah, man. Alex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Alex was. Yeah, he was Alex, fun.
That's my name. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, Vern, for you, as you know, long drive being the bait that got you into the game, what was it like being there and around the athletes, you know, that you watch?
Oh man, it was electric, and that's in an atmosphere with no fans. Now, for those who don't know, basically there was like a grandstand with some VIPs in it, maybe I think family and some people they had, stuff like that. But it made me think after we left, I was like, man, we would have been so much more hype if that had been an actual like fan attended event, because they get up, especially and I guess we'll talk about this later, but some of the intros the players have when they walk up. But man, it was great. It was outstanding. It was cool to be around these guys who I admire. Who, you know, I'm chasing swing speed right now. If you haven't listened, go back and listen to the episode with JP where I talk about my journey to 150 or 130 or 110. somewhere there. No, it was cool. It was cool as hell. And then the really cool thing was when they started hitting, like just getting to witness them. It's you guys talk about it. I haven't been to a PGA tour, but you talk about watching PGA pros hit the ball and warm up and everything else. Similar thing, watch these guys tee off. Like their warm up shots, which were just kind of like not maybe all out, were insane to me. And like the crack off the sound of the club. And I can't see it. I don't see it at all. It just goes, just disappears into the sky. And you know, so it was amazing. It was really, really cool, really good atmosphere. And you know, these guys aren't going to tell you, but when the opportunity came up, we were supposed to play Needwood on Saturday. And my personality.
You know, let's go ahead and knock this out, because we had a round at Needwood booked, and we get this email from Brian with DC Events and say, hey, Capital Long Drive, we want you guys to come down and cover it. Here's all the information. So I send it to LB and Vern, like, hey, check out what's happening.
Right.
You know, Saturday. Mm-hmm. You know, we should go. And I think I even said that I'm going to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you said you would go, and we didn't have to go. We didn't want to go.
Yeah, I'll go. Like, y'all don't want to go. It's all good. I was going to go. And then LB was like, no, I'm definitely going, you know?
I said the same thing, though, too. sort of, but a caveat. Yeah, I said, let's go. But for real, I am in this. Like, basically, yeah. Internally.
He was like, what time is it? Can we play golf and then go to the
I did. I asked a bunch of qualifiers. I was like, dang on it. Because you know how much I look forward to playing golf, which is also going to come up later in this episode. Mm-hmm. It's going to be challenged. But I basically still wanted to play golf, and I was trying to figure out a way to do it. And then it's only because in my mind, like, you guys will get used to working with me, basically, where it's, like, when I get there, I'm all the way up. I'm ready to go. I'm there. But just like initially, it's like, oh man, my Saturday, daggone it. But I'm that guy. I'm that guy that once you put me in the spot, I'm having fun. It's a great time. And I knew it was going to be by like Wednesday or Thursday. I was gearing up. And, you know, I'm saying, I knew it was going to be a great event and everything else. But I did low key kind of want to try to see if I could sneak in Needwood or, yeah, you know,
anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, who wants to hang out with Troy Mullins? We got a tea time at Needwood. Right, of course. Yeah. LB, your thoughts of the event?
Yeah, everything Vern said is accurate. I mean, I was geeked up about it. Probably about Wednesday, especially Thursday, because I start going online, getting notes and,
right,
you know, thinking about questions to ask and reading their backgrounds and things. So, yeah, I was pretty gassed up about it. I mean, for you, Claude, I'm sure it wasn't as big a deal because you are in media. But, you know, to me, this is all still new. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was almost, I can imagine almost being like going to a professional basketball game and getting floor seats and access to the locker room or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. you just, that's how much, that's the kind of access we had to these people. And I'm curious to see what it's going to be like next year when they, hopefully, there will be fans allowed and how it changes and how it impacts us.
Right.
Because like you said, it was us and the Golf Channel. Right. I mean, that was basically it. As far as, you know, I put in air quotes, media. You know, and even Brian mentioned that he had reached out to some of the local radio stations, sports departments, and they weren't really interested in coming to, you know, to witness it or report it.
Yeah, and that was odd to me because, I mean, yeah. So he said that I think the only one who's going to do something actually was Dave Johnson, the WTOP, mm-hmm. who I have the pleasure of working with the Washington Wizards radio network. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was just surprised that WTOP wouldn't send anyone else down. You know what I mean? And I had sent an email out to some of my guys over there and said, hey, if you want, I can send some hits. And I didn't get a response.
Right.
And that's wild because, I mean, this is, I mean, you know, the long drive being here in the nation's capital, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Right.
It is a professional event. It's not, you know, some amateurs. It's not us out there hitting the ball.
It's not the NBA G League. It's not the DC Go-Go, who they've talked about on the radio. It's like, you know, who cares about the DC Go-Go? Who are you talking about?
And for those listening who don't know, this is the first long drive event, I think, since 2019. Mm-hmm. So we got the first dibs on like the return of this. Mm-hmm. So this is big, and it's going to air on Golf Channel, I believe, right?
It's the first time in the city as well. So it seems to me they should have, somebody, you know, other than us, should have been there. But to my point, though, was next year, the fans are allowed.
Right.
One, are our credentials still good?
we'll be there. We'll be there.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's going to be a whole different dynamic with people there, with fans and more media there. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be, I'm looking forward to witnessing it.
Right. Yeah. It'll be fun though, man. I mean, this was great. And to be honest with you, like, you know, LB, you said, like, I work in media and I've had access to people, you know, before, you know, all the time for networks and stuff, but this was a little different because, you know, it was something that I've never done before. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, people that I just never expected to really have access to. And there were a lot of people I didn't know, you know, especially on the women's side, you know, and so to meet them and to talk to them and to hear their story. Alexis Burton, I was fascinated by
because
in 2018 when she won, because she was in a competition with Troy Mullins. Right. And I remember watching it, rooting for Troy, and then Alexis wins, because I've never seen Alexis until then. I'm like, oh, this sister, you know, from Louisiana, this is what's up, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, but it's amazing to me how in, you know, it, just from the athlete experience, number one, here was my takeaway from a lot of it, was just the demeanor of the athletes themselves. You know, they were super welcoming.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were super nice. They were open. All of them had great personalities. You know what I mean? You could crack jokes. You could talk. They weren't like super stuffy and, you know, and all about the sport, you know, and stuff like that. And so, you know, but yeah, so watch Alexis. And the amount of social consciousness that they all had. I mean, they were mm-hmm. all kind of outspoken about yes. we here, mm-hmm. like we, you know what yeah. I mean? Like, and, you know, trying to open up this game that has been, you know, a country club, rich white man sport. Like, no, there are more people in this country. We're opening this thing up and, you know, and they're using their platform, you know, to talk about it. And that's everyone right. from obviously the black athletes were outspoken about that mm-hmm. with no shame and with no hindrance or mm-hmm. no hesitation at all. Nope. But even some of the white ones were the same way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And yeah. it's like, yo, this is really cool. And how laid and how laid back they were. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I mean, yeah. literally, honestly, when I left, I came home. You know, the first thing I started to do was start putting in the basement. I just wanted to work on my game from being around these guys. But like the full interviews that we did with everybody will be on later shows when it airs on Golf Channel. Right. It was interesting too from a technical standpoint. You know, we had to pull the mic all the way up for Tim Burton, uh-huh. and then down for some other folks, yep. and then all the way back up for Shasta though.
Yeah,
Shasta Avery yeah. Hart. Like we had to put it all the way back up for her.
Is she what, 6'1", 6'2"?
Something like that.
Yeah, Alexis wasn't short either. Alexis wasn't short either.
Yeah. Alexis wasn't short either.
No, she wasn't.
Yeah. So, yeah, man.
Cassandra was short, yeah.
Which one?
Cassandra was short.
And that's what's so funny, because when we're talking about it, I mean, you could be 5'2", and they bombing
crushing it.
They bombing it. Mm-hmm. 330, 360, and you know what I mean? Close to 4 and stuff like that. And, you know, contrary to popular, I won't say popular, but to some belief by people who have maybe even expressed this on this show, the women can hit long.
Yes, they can. Yes,
I wanted to bring that. Who
said right, that. Exactly. It wasn't me. I don't know who that was.
Yeah. Somebody else. Yeah, we won't even talk about that. So a lot going on. But what I do want to do, we did get a chance to catch up with Troy Mullins. It was getting close to the start of the competition. We had a choice, really, between Troy Mullins and Chick Hernandez. We chose Troy, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, and it wasn't really a choice. I mean, Chick's local DMV guy. You know, we love the work that he's done here. Yeah. We got to talk to Troy Mullins. I mean, you know what I mean? So we got a chance to talk to her. She was awesome, as always. Anytime, if you follow her on social media, anytime she's on, there's this bright smile. There's this lovely personality. There's this light and this shine that comes from her that was present there at the end of that day. And she was in D.C. We didn't know whether she was going to be there, but the night before, Lawrence Brooks sent a text message saying, Troy's here.
Troy's in town.
She took a picture by the at the steps down in Georgetown where the Exorcist steps. And so because it's Halloween, we're gonna play part of this interview with Troy, because I asked her, you know, you were at these steps, you posted on IG, is Halloween like your thing? All right, Golf DMV, we got the one and only Troy Mullins here. Troy, thank you so much for joining us on Golf DMV.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Saw your Instagram yesterday. You were in Georgetown
on
the steps near the Exorcist scene.
Definitely.
Is Halloween your thing? Is scary movies your thing? You like that kind of stuff? Or?
Well, it's funny. I did a semester here in D.C. Mm-hmm. I went to Cornell, and I love being back in the city. And yes, Halloween is my thing. I hope Halloween 2020 is not canceled, because I'm still going to dress up somehow. But yeah, my mom and I have been winning Halloween contests at our house like every year since I was a kid. Scariest house. One year we did the birds, where we bought hundreds of black crows and put them all over the house. So,
ladies and gentlemen, that's dedication. That's dedication right there. So definitely. So your favorite Halloween costume that you've had in the past?
Ooh, I've done so many. Scary Spice was pretty easy and fun. I was Billie Holiday.
Nice.
Oh, actually, the year we did the birds, I dressed up as the kids from the birds with a friend, and we did the school kid thing, and we ran down the stadium at my high school in the contest.
Yeah.
And we were like acting it out like we were being attacked. Full theatrics. But actually, I take that back. We had 5 black girls in my class.
Uh-huh.
And I said to them, you know what? We need to be the Jackson 5.
Love it.
And so we did the dance. We learned it. It was great.
Nice.
Matching costumes.
Yeah, so obviously Halloween a big thing, Troy and with her mom. And I mean, you know, you can't find this kind of deep research and questions and answers like this anywhere else. Golf DMV is going to ask these kind of questions.
That's right.
And this is the value you get with this fine quality radio show and podcast. The rest with Troy Mullins, by the way, will be available closer to the event. And I got to be honest with you guys, I mean, again, I think it's because like this game and some of these people mean so much to me that I am a little more excited than I am in other ventures in media when I'm with certain people.
Right.
That every single time, whether it's Troy or Josh Johnson, these guys, when they hit us up on Instagram or their social media and they like it or they take our video and repost it as theirs, yeah. I'm just so excited. I'm like, oh, Troy got us on the thing.
I was psyched. You know, I was psyched every right. time. Now, again, true to, I have not, you know, for those who know, who listen to the show, you know, I'm not in media. I have a day job. But I immediately start trying to list, like, yes, they reposted the stuff. Then I start scrolling through. I was like, where's that credit? Is that credit in there? Right. Okay, good. Okay, good. Tagged right, off. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Because you got to have it. Even my wife, I think my enthusiasm is rubbing off on my wife, who today, this morning, had her hair in a Troy Mullen style.
Oh,
here we go.
That's her natural thing. And recently, it's been in a ponytail or it's been kind of just flattened out. Uh-huh. This morning, it was a wash and go. And so it's curly and poofy, Troy Mullen style. And so I don't know whether that's inspiration from Troy or maybe a little bit of jealousy.
Competition.
I don't know what it is.
Competition.
Yeah.
But either way, I love it. Either way, I'm down. I love it.
Either way, you win it, right?
Has she heard? So the thing is, you guys haven't seen the interview yet. You've heard it. But you haven't seen it. So I cut it up last night, like the video part, which again, you guys will see on our new webpage, golfdmv.com. And I did have to cut some parts out there a little bit because Claude and LB were a little bit excited, a little bit geeked up. Even Claude, the media professional, came in like he was knocking about, questioning, laughing, questioning. Uh-huh. And at the end, he was like, "Well, you know, I mean, it's just so great because you do so much for media." And blah, blah, blah. And he started running it. I was like, "Oh my god!" So when you see it on video, Troy's just kind of standing there like, "Uh huh." Yeah. Okay. So that one I just kind of cut out of the video.
Thank you.
LB started too when he came in there. He told me, "You see yourself with the media and
yeah,
yeah." So I cut it up and it's clean. It's just like,
thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem. See, this it made me laugh. And now again, I can say that I'm throwing stones because I was just operating the camera. I just had to point the camera. But
it's tough when the mic's in your hand, man. And
yeah,
it is. Get these questions out. You know,
absolutely,
what I mean?
Absolutely. You did a great job.
Oh, I appreciate that. And by the way, Vern, thank you so much for all the prep too. You came out with the sheets and mm-hmm. stuff. You know,
yeah.
92% of stuff was accurate, but for the most part, it was fine. No, it was good. So we had a good time. And you'll hear more about this whole thing later on. I think we might actually be the official DC media for DC events. And for, I think it's called Brothers Birdies or something like that.
My Brother's Birdies.
Mm-hmm. And the Capital Long Drive Championship. We might be the official inside mm-hmm. guys. Yeah. And by the way, if Golf Channel or any local media wants any of this information, you can talk to us
and contact us
and we'll discuss wire transfers and other financial benefits in order to get this.
That's right.
Let's get to some golf rounds in the DMV. Let's start with the most recent. Mm-hmm. There was a round of golf played this morning.
Glenn, yes,
that Glenn was going to set up. I think off the break, I was like, I'm not going to be able to get out of
yes,
work
correct.
On Monday morning to be able to play. And so it was going to be, I think, Glenn, LB, Vern.
Yes.
Glenn had to change it.
Yeah. So right? I'll start here, and then I'll let LB
okay.
take it.
Okay, you go right ahead.
So basically, Glenn just lost his sitter. He lost his babysitter. For those who don't know, Glenn's my brother-in-law. He plays with us. He's one of the regulars. Lost his babysitter, so he couldn't go. So he asked us if we still wanted to keep the tee time or cancel. This was a tee time, and of course, I'm in Baltimore. You know, LB and I aren't necessarily close to that. So if he wasn't going, then we were kind of like, oh, let's skip it and just get somewhere closer. So that's what we did. So I told Glenn, cancel. And I kind of go back and forth with LB. I'm like, oh, you know, we can do Oak Creek. Then I said, well, it doesn't drain well. And maybe blah, blah, blah. Anyway, long story short, I ended up selling on Oak Creek after looking at that and then some of the Montgomery County courses. And I think it was like 9:48, I believe, was the tee time. Actually,
about that.
The tee time. Yeah, about that. Yeah. Yep.
About 9:40.
9:40. 9:40 time at Oak Creek was what I said with LB. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he said he had something to do later on, but he would only play nine. I'm like, cool, that's fine. We'll do that. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much exactly what happened. Story over.
Yeah. So speaking to this story, quick question, Vern. I text Vern this morning at 3:15 a.m.
Yep.
Wow.
Well, see, normally I'm asleep at that time, but at a certain age, sometimes you got to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night.
Right.
So I went to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and it dawned on me that I had a meeting that I had to get to in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, that's right. So what? And I'm, you know, I'm doing the math in my head. Okay, tee times this time, travel time. Da, da, da. I was like, oop. I can't do 18. So that's when I text Vern at 3:15 this morning and say, hey, I can only do 9 because I got to be back by this meeting. He immediately texts. And I was like, in my mind, I'm like, what are you doing up? I know why I'm up.
Let me just pause this story right here. No lie. For whatever reason, I woke up this morning at 15 minutes after 1 o'clock, quarter after one. Uh-huh. And, you know, from some of my media obligations, like I had to be in the studio this morning at 4:45. Mm-hmm. I could not go back to sleep. So I was literally up at that same time.
Wow.
That's crazy. Anyway, go ahead.
Wow. Right. So he immediately texted me back. And again, I didn't ask him at the time, but I was like, why are you thinking in my mind? Why are you up? So if you want to tell me now, you can, or we can just skip it. It's up to you.
Yeah, you know, just obligations. No, I had no good reason. I had no reason. I wasn't nothing nefarious, though. Everything was good. I was in the house. I wasn't home. Okay. I was home. That's the important part.
Wait Keisha. A minute. Does Keisha listen to this podcast? And she does not.
She's in the living room. So I was home. Yeah.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. So he was like, cool. Okay. Well, I say, we just do 9. So when I get there this morning, you know, I'll get there a little bit early because I want to go to the range. So I did, got there early, got a bucket, hit some balls.
You were there before Vern?
Before Vern, yeah. I haven't been to the golf course since Kentucky. So I hadn't played in a couple of weeks.
Right.
Since the infamous round below 80, right?
Yes, the 74, yeah. I believe, yes.
74. Although I guess you played a round after that.
Yeah, I did, and it came back to 90s, yes. Yep. Yes, I did.
Hey, that was shade. Yeah, I'm sorry.
First, he shortchanged you with your round somewhere under 80. Right, no, 74. Yeah. And then he came back with the top shot.
That was shade. I'm sorry. I got to work on being a better person. That should be what happened.
So I hit my balls and everything, and it's like 9:35 at this point. It's like 5 minutes of tea time. The guy, the star, is like, hey, you group here? I'm like, they coming? I said, as far as I know, they coming.
And it's just you and Vern, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I just said, as far as I know, they coming. Yeah. So I text Vern, nothing happened. So after a while, I'm like, okay, I hit a couple more balls. I wait an extra 10 minutes. Then there's a group of like 8 about to go off.
Right.
So I don't want to get behind them. So I'm like, okay. I was like, well, I got to go. So I call Vern. It goes to voicemail. I don't even leave a mess. I'm like, okay, done. I tell a guy, I say, hey, I'm teeing off. He's like, yeah, go ahead. Go do your thing. So I tee off, first hole, par, second hole, birdie. I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A special, special day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it went downhill from there. I end up on one of the par threes. It's two par fives on that one. On the front, and I the second one I went +3, and that I had a couple some bogeys in there too. So I didn't have another par or birdie the rest of the round. It was it was bogeys and double bogeys in that 3.
Did you end up playing by yourself? Did Vern?
Yes,
ever
I did. Yes, I did. I played 9 holes by myself. The pace was really good because I didn't have to wait on anybody.
Right, it'd been cool to be there.
Right, so I did catch up to a threesome. Like on hole number 6. And I just kind of waited and let them finish the next hole. And then I went through and I never hit them again. So, but yeah, it was a nice round. I was glad to get out, even though it was a muddy, you know, muddy day, car path only.
Right.
But I needed to get out to see how, cause I hadn't played since my hip procedure as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to see how that was going to do. And if anybody's keeping score, it hurts now.
Okay. so just for the record, I mean, even though Vern didn't show, like you're fine with because you don't even like Oak Creek, but you're so you probably wouldn't have gone there this morning if he didn't book the round. Would you have played closer like Laytonville?
Speak on it now.
Yeah, I would have just gone to the range probably. If I couldn't have got on the course, I would have just went to the range or something.
And not
drove the 45 to 50 miles it is from my house to play 9 holes by myself. I would have just probably went to a range up here. Blue Mash is like 5 miles down the street. Mm-hmm. Probably would have just played there. Probably a little bit more convenient. Or I could have, you know, I could have went way out and went up to Little Bennett, which is 10 miles away.
Right? Yeah. And a lot you could have done.
I had a lot of options,
but you were just expecting. Vern, anything you want to talk about for not being there, you just kind of want to move on because we have a lot to talk about on the show.
No. It's quick. Basically, it's exactly what he said. First of all, I was up at 3:15 in the morning doing hard work, editing and photos and stuff, all sorts of hard stuff. So I went to bed at like probably 4 or 5 this morning. I did not set the alarm. Now, I want it for everybody who, and listen, this is wild because I just texted Aaron this weekend. Aaron was supposed to come play LP Sunday, started raining. So I hit him up. I was like, hey, did you end up playing LP? He was like, nah, ladies didn't want to play in the rain. He's like, for those who listen, Aaron's one of the regulars in the group. So he's like, yeah, so he booked around it, I think, Bristol Manor. And he said, but all my bulls bailed me because it was raining. He said, I put on my rain suit. He said, if I say I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there. And I'm all enthusiastic.
Like, his boys bailed him like Troy? Like
yeah,
Troy
yeah. He's, yeah. He said he went out there by himself to play. He said, my rain suit works. I'm good.
And so was Coach B part of that group too?
And so I'm like leaning into the text. Hashtag, I was like, yeah, hashtag real golfers only. All this and that. And then here comes Monday. So basically what happened was I just didn't set my alarm. So this has happened. Yeah. My fear is I was like, God, this is going to become a thing. Now I'm going to be this guy. In 10 years, I've missed two rounds. I remember the other one. The other one was Links of Chaladon. I think also with LB, I think. It was either you or with the old man group I used to play with. It was Links of Chaladon. I won't forget it. I just woke up and I was like, oh no. But yeah, I didn't set the alarm, and I woke up when I heard a text or something come through, and I was like, oh, bleep. So it wasn't an oversleep. It wasn't like the LP one was where I like the alarm went off. I overslept. I got there like on hole two. We were good. So I don't want my credit messed up because of this.
This brings up an interesting scenario, and folks can email us, at golfdvpodcast@gmail.com. Yeah. The question that I have is, at what point when you wake up and you oversleep or whatever, do you now just say, I'm not going to show up? You know what I mean? Like, are you okay with coming up, you know, after the hole one and just showing up at two, or just getting in when you get there and try to get in whatever you can get in?
So that happened.
At what point do people wake up and say, okay, I'm out of it?
Right. That happened in text, actually. So basically, when I woke up, I said, oh, he said, I'm on hole three.
I was on hole three.
Yeah, I was like, okay, cool, man. I'm covered. And he's like, I'm on hole three. Don't worry about it. I was like, oh, cool.
There was no argument at all.
Nor should there have been.
No, yeah. So as you can tell, Claude, I think if you wake up and it's just like beyond, and it's close, Oak Creek's like 10 minutes from me, but if it's like halfway through or something like that, you just take the L and be like, dang, I got this mark on my record.
Even if you had left right then, you probably got to, I'd have been on hole five.
Yeah, you'd been over halfway done.
So, I mean, what's the point in that?
You know, for real. Agreed.
So a round that Vern did show up for was 1757 a few weeks ago with the coaches. You played with, who was there? Coach
So this was Howard. This was me, Glenn, Howard, and Damon, actually. Just Coach Howard. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Howard's the guy that I like playing with, right?
Yes. Yeah, Coach Howard. Yeah.
Have I played with Coach Damon before, too? Oh, Coach Lou. Okay, yeah. Coach.
Yeah, Lou Howard. He Oxon Hill coach. So, Dave, you played with Damon before. Damon's my fan member. Yeah, it's my uncle, whatever. But
uncle, he
played Enterprise, I think, with him. But anyway, Lou was out there, and you know, him and you know, he, for those who don't know Lou, man, he shows up. The first thing he asks on the first hole is, what we doing in terms of gambling?
Right.
And him and Damon speak the same language. He said, what we doing? Damon's like, I was thinking dollar hole. We're not going to do no carryovers. We do it. And they immediately got into it. And me and Glenn are on the side, like, I'm out. You know? But then, of course, they pressure me into, like, I'm like, all right, I'll play. Because it basically, it would amount to, like, the worst you could do is, like, maybe $5 or $6 because there's no carryover betting. Fine, that's fine. So we all played along, me, him, and Glenn, actually, at 1757. Okay. I want to bore everybody with the details of the round. It's 1757. We lost a lot of balls. Now, look, I did okay. I did, like, mid-90s. It kind of fell apart. Mm-hmm. But this was the first time Damon or Glenn had played there. If there's any group of people there's any group of people that could revel in other people's sorrows, it's golfers, especially when you've gone through it yourself.
Right,
so
right.
On the front nine, I'm just chilling, like taking it easy, hitting fair, just being real easy, hitting fairways. And that's the third ball on this hole. I've lost four balls on this hole. This is ridiculous. And then there's that. And there's a lot of, like, they hit it and I clearly know it's gone. And they get up there and it's like, I think it's up there by the, I was like, okay, go ahead, check it out. And they walk around for 40 minutes looking mad, cussing. And I'm just sitting over there. I don't know why I'm smiling. I don't know why it makes me happy. These are my boys. So it was a little bit rough going on the front nine or whatever. And then coach hits, Lou, to his credit, had a nice run of like four or five holes, got a birdie in there, a couple of pars. He ended up winning the skin pot or whatever. Okay. So that went well. Glenn, I think, said he liked the course. He wants to come back. When he was finished, he was playing with range balls. He'd lost all the balls were gone. All the balls were gone. That's my man. So, but again, for those who don't know, if you've gone to 1757, you know this pain. Yes. As a matter of fact, I think we asked Josh Jackson about it.
Yeah.
The long driver from the Capital Long Drive competition, who said he plays out of there, and it is tough managing his length. Yeah. Even around that course, even for somebody that long. So that's pretty much how that went down. But it was a good time with the boys.
I love their short game practice area, by the way, at 1757. Great driving range, great short game area. You know, here's the thing with Coach Lou, though. It's like, it's weird because it doesn't, the way he plays, it doesn't seem like his game is good. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
Like from his swing and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, his swing is
I gotta keep track of his strokes a little more closely than I normally do. I'm usually just having a good time joking around. Yeah. And he and I are probably exact opposites of each other. You know what I mean? Like, he's a great guy, you know, but we, for some reason, like, I just like playing with the dude. He's a funny guy to play.
He's energetic. He's that guy. He brings the energy. He makes you, you're up. You're like, all right, cool. This guy's talking to me. He makes you laugh. He's a good dude, man.
Yeah.
Man.
Love playing with that dude, man.
Yeah.
He also brings out the worst in us as far as trash talk.
He does.
Yeah.
Because literally, we'll play 20 rounds with each other, won't talk any trash. The moment he's there, I'm looking at Vern like, huh, that one went in the woods. You're not going to find that one. You know what I mean? Like, unprovoked. It's just because Coach Lou's around. And so you got to, you know, you talk a little bit. So Vern, let's stick with you in your rounds. You had an incident where you hit a house.
Yeah. So
let's talk about two Vern incidents because you hit a house and you almost got in a fight in a liquor store over tequila.
Oh yeah, the tequila situation. Oh wow. Okay. All right. So let's go to the golf first, real quick, because it's a cute. So those listening, there's a beautiful golf course in Leesburg, Virginia, called River Creek. It's private. My pops plays there, and in a tournament, I'm gonna say pretty much annually, like all the time. I played there one time in the tournament with him, but that's it. And so they credited him since he's always there. I think the tournament or whatever, he got like a free round. So he was gracious enough to invite me out with Charles and Ed to come out and hit with him.
And he showed up to this one.
He did show up to this one. It ended up just being me, him and Ed, I think, or whatever. Charles was out. But yeah, the three of us got there. We're doing good. We're having a great round. It's a beautiful course. If you get a chance to go play it, I encourage everybody to go play it. On one of the holes on the, I'm going to say front nine, we'll just call it hole seven. It doesn't matter. Basically, it's just if you can just imagine a standard par four, you know, straight out, nothing going on, some bunkers maybe. This place, the course, or I'm sorry, the neighborhood that this course is in is very upscale. We're talking like $25,000 to join the club, and everybody has to join. Huge houses, big money, gated, all that. It is nice. It's very nice. So I'm on hole six. I go to tee off, and you know, I hit a little low cut that would cut a little bit too much. That wasn't intended to be a cut. That flew sharply like a line drive towards some trees off to the fairway. Now, the houses are basically behind the trees. So just imagine some short trees, maybe, you know, 10, 20 feet tall, and then big, gigantic houses behind those trees. So they're not really protecting them. So you see the ball disappear into the tree, and then I hear the loud smack. That's what I hear, the smack. I don't hear glass. I hear a smack, and I was like, oh. So I think it's at a house further up than where I hit. Basically, it was just a row of houses. I think I went longer than I did. So I start driving up the fairway. I'm driving like all the way up the thing. And then my dad and Ed are like further back or whatever. And then I see this gentleman come running out. And I'm like, oh, I guess maybe it's back there. So I go over there. Long story short, basically, yeah, this guy named Thomas Hude. I hit his house, cracked his window. Thank God it was only – because this house is beautiful and it's expensive and everything costs a lot of money on it. So thankfully it was a window that was the size of, I don't know, maybe like a 1 foot by 1 foot. Like a decorative window at the top of a bay window.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So I cracked that while they were eating too. He said they were sitting there in the dining room eating and they were like, Parker! And, just cracked off. Two plays of glass. I only broke one, thank goodness. So we exchanged information. And he says, I'll be in touch, you know, about the estimate and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, man, this window's probably got diamonds in it. It's going to be $14,000. I'm going to have to, like, go to arbitration. This is going to be a whole thing. Thankfully, he was cool, too. Thomas was totally cool. So he was very kind. So thankfully, he sent the invoice over. It was only – so real quick. So for this window, 1 foot by 1 foot on a really nice house, I will do a couple of over-unders here. Over, under –
know the price, so we can't do it.
Oh, you do? Cool. Got it. So I already told you the story. So for those listening, basically it was $371. That's
not bad.
Not bad. When I saw it, I was like, oh, thank God. So I sent him the money today. I sent him the money and I asked him the question. Here's what you don't know. This is what I'll ask you for the over-under. Because I was curious. I was like, for those listening, this house is like maybe right in the hitting zone off the fairway, like 20 yards off the fairway. So for everybody who's played in neighborhoods, you know this house. This is the one that's going to get shelled. And I was like, man, this can't be, am I the first person to do this? And, you know, whatever, because he was real calm about it. So I asked him when I said, hey, I sent the stuff over. Let me know how many years you've lived here. Am I the first to do this? So he says, I am indeed the first one to break that window.
Okay.
That window. Uh-huh. And he said, however, we've had 14 other windows broken in 18 years.
Wow. That's almost one a year.
Yeah. Almost one a year. Ha ha. Wow. That's what he said. Yeah, so I'm going to send Thomas again. I'm sorry I broke your window. I'm going to send him the details about the pod and the show. Hopefully he listens. It was a good experience with him. Again, I sent him 380. We were good to go. But yeah, 14 and 18 years. So I didn't feel as bad. I didn't feel as bad because I was like, man, it's not that far off the fairway.
It just kills me, though, man, with these houses that are on the course. You would think that there's some sort of insurance, some sort of something that you pay into when you live there that golfers don't, or some kind of fee that is included in the green fees that the course would pay for it.
Or the home like association
if,
or something.
Yeah, even if you know, say the regular greens fees, you know, would be, or membership, whatever the member, you said 25,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Suppose it's 26 or 26.5.
Yeah.
And in case you break a window, mm-hmm. the course will take care of it. And then even if it's a tournament or they invite you out, whatever the fee is, if it's 125, they charge you 175.
Right.
Just in case something like this happens, they'll take care of it. You don't have to worry about it. I think it will help the residents. You know what I mean? Where I don't have to deal with individuals. I don't have to run out there and see who did it. Or I can just call the pro shop. Hey, from you. Yeah. Like, hey, someone just hit my window. Here's a picture of it. You know, let's go through whatever we got, you know, the paperwork.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And because, you know, if they had an event there, like a PGA event or some other event, and it's, Rory McIlroy cracks your window, which I'm not comparing myself to Rory McIlroy, but you know what I mean.
But y'all both hit it long, right?
Right. Yeah, relative to the people we play with. yeah, if he cracks somebody's window, ain't nobody coming up. Ain't nobody running up a hill talking about some, I need this money. PGA is going to play that. But, you know, that makes sense. It's a sponsored event. But anyway, no, it was good. It was a beautiful course and everything went well. Do you want to kill the story real quick?
Before you leave the house, though.
Okay.
For my man, when he does listen to this podcast, my question for him is, how come they don't have some kind of different kind of window? Why can't you put like a plastic sheathing across the window as a barrier for balls? I mean, 14 times out of 18 years, don't you need to do something about that? Do you just accept it?
LB, you haven't seen these houses. Plastic what? No.
I mean, there's high quality plastic and high quality shatterproof glass. I mean, they got bulletproof glass.
It's true.
I mean, if the same five windows are getting hit, fix those same five windows.
Well, they're not apparently, because I somehow found that's golf. Like, one guy's going to find the one window in 18 years that nobody else has broken. I got right to it. I went straight to it. It's amazing.
All right, I'm done.
Okay.
The tequila story. Let's talk about this.
Yeah, tequila. Okay, so.
Apparently.
Yeah, well, almost. So, basically, a couple weeks ago, I'm setting up to get my mom. We just want to give my mom a random thank you gift, right? So, mm-hmm. part of this package, you know, me and my sister were building this whole package. I said, hey, I'm going to get her a nice bottle of tequila. For those who live in the area, you familiar with Total Wine? Mm-hmm. You can go to Total Wine's huge liquor store. They got an online thing. You can see stock, all that type of stuff. So all week now, I'm looking online. There's two tequilas. There's a good and there's a better one, basically. You know, one that's costs a certain amount and one that's a little bit more expensive. The good one, the okay one, is in stock all week long. Every day I check, I keep adding it to the cart. It's like green, good. I'm like, cool, this is bet. We're going to take care of this. This event is going to be on Saturday. I'm checking all week. We get to Friday, still in stock. The nicer one, which I have as a backup, when you click it, it says, hey, we can't guarantee this is in stock. You got to come in the store and see what it's going to be. We don't have no guarantee. So I'm pretty, in my mind, as you can imagine, I'm thinking I'm going to walk in. I'm going to get the good version of tequila. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. So I get to Total Wine. I, of course, wait till Friday. So I
Which
wait
one
till,
did you go to? Laurel.
Laurel Corridor. Yep. Mm-hmm. So I go to the Total Wine in Laurel on a Friday. As soon as I pull into the parking lot, my heart sinks because it is just a nice day. And it's a smorgasbord of people just driving out with liquor, laughing and kicking up and everybody high-fiving like, hey, all the tequila's gone. That's what I hear. And I was like, hey, we took everything. So I pull up. I was like, dang, because this is a very popular brand. It goes quickly. I know exactly where it is. So I walk in. I go straight to it. And I get there. There's a woman. There's a clerk, a store clerk, and a woman standing in front of the tequila. And I look up to where this brand is, and they're all gone. All the bottles are gone. In my heart, I was like, oh, my God, this is terrible. Blah, blah. And then I look down. As I'm, like, putting my head down, I look down at the clerk. And she has the nicer one, the nice one, the last one, in her hand. And the lady she's helping, I think. So basically, if you can imagine the situation, you walk up, it looks like a situation where the clerk was sort of just advising this woman, this customer on, hey, these are the tequilas. These are some nice ones. Here's what I would drink, blah, 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 blah. And she grabbed the one that I wanted. She had it in her hand, the super nice, expensive one. So she has it in her hand. I want to snatch it and run, but I don't because I'm just worried. I'm in Laurel. I know where I'm at. The lady on the phone, of course, the God bless her. I mean, I don't want to have to call my people out, but goddamn. See, so she's on the phone, speakerphone, in the full throat, just full loudness.
Of course.
The Don Pablo. Going on about price. Going on about price club. But that one 60. I heard it's okay. And she's asking the clerk, I look at her, she looks like she wants to be done. She looks at me as to like to do the whole getaway like,
help
thing.
Me,
like,
help
yeah,
me.
Yeah, help me. And I'm like, I can't help you. So they're going back and forth. So finally the clerk lady just gently starts to put the thing back on the shelf. No sooner than it touches the shelf, I immediately grab it. I grab it off the shelf. And the lady on the phone turns and looks at me. Now she's been waffling the whole time. She turns and looks at me. She's like, well, the such and such brand is gone or whatever she said, whatever. And I thought I was being funny. I said, hey, you got to strike while the iron is hot, right? She didn't like that. So
you was doing too much.
I was doing too much.
You should have let it alone.
You got to strike with the iron. So she starts to like turn to me like she's about to go off. Like the sister's about, she's revving up. She's gearing up. And I quickly make my escape. I say, hey, thank you. I appreciate it. Blah, 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 to the clerk and just turn and walk away. I stiff arm her and just, you know, turn and bounce the other way. So
you hit her with the bear cannery.
I avoided the situation. As I'm walking away, the clerk walks up and she's like, oh, that's a really good tequila, whatever. I was like, oh, yeah, it's really great. Blah, blah. Never had it in my life. Never even had it. I've never tasted it. I have no idea what it tastes like. I know it's good. I've never had it. But yeah. So that's how that went. So the moral of the story is, folks, don't waffle in the liquor store. If you know what you want, get it.
Yeah,
you
man.
Get it for us.
And by the way, don't waffle wherever you are, man. I mean, you could be in the drive-thru at Taco Bell.
Oh, like, my goodness.
It has the same thing. You got, like, you know what's there. Stop getting there and saying, let me see. So the number, you know, you guys don't do any sandwiches. No, it's Taco Bell, man. Like, yeah. Like just order, you know, who order goes to these places and don't know, kind of know what they want to get.
The thing that surprised me about it just really quick was just why you've been chilling this whole time. And then when I take it,
yep.
That's when you're like, oh, now that it's gone, you're upset that it's gone. You want to roll your eyes. I don't get that.
Yeah. I'm like, what are it we comes doing? Back to some of the etiquette you learn in golf. Maybe we need to get this woman into golf. It's like if you know you've got a group and a four and there's two people behind you and they're waiting, let them play through, man. Mm-hmm. You're trying to make a decision. It's like, you know what, dog? I'm going to be honest with you. I want to get a tequila, but this one's too expensive for whatever reason. I don't want to pay $60 for it or whatever. If you want to go ahead and go with it, man, I'll make another decision because you don't know what you want to do.
Yeah.
So it's like, just come on, man, just get out the way. Okay. Anyway, let's keep things moving this show. Like I said, a lot of things to get to. We got the Olivia Millions, the LPGA tournament. We're not going to do the Zozo with the PGA, but we do want to talk a little bit about Phil Mickelson and the Kablazian, as we had pointed out the last show, Tiger Woods. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. LPGA, Olivia Millions. Let's go to our LPGA money desk with Lawrence Brooks.
All right. Thank you, sir. The LPGA played this weekend at the Drive On Championship at Brenos Lake, Ochoni, something like that. O C O N E E.
Okay.
Ochoni. Yeah.
Yep.
So let me ask this question. Did you all see any of the tournament?
Talking about the LPGA one?
Yes.
That you just talked about?
Yes.
No.
So I didn't watch any of it, but I did follow on Twitter some of my favorite people, like now I can't remember.
Yeah.
Caught up.
From the Golf Channel. She does all the analysts. She does a lot of it.
Okay.
No.
Her. Anyway, she talked about it a lot. So I did follow her too.
Well, let me cut to the chase.
Yeah,
the course was beautiful.
Okay,
absolutely beautiful. I didn't see every time I watched quite a bit of it, and every hole I saw, it was beautiful. I mean, it was just a beautiful looking course. And it's owned by the hotel, the resort area is by the Ritz-Carlton, so that can give you an idea of what the level of quality I'm talking about.
Lisa Cornwell, who I'm talking about. Lisa Cornwell.
Lisa Cornwell. Yeah, I had no idea who that is.
Way to look it up real quick.
Right. So Allie McDonald won. It was her fourth win, I believe, at minus 16.
Danielle Kane came in second, correct?
I'm about to get to that. Yeah.
Back up.
So
I follow.
Let me start over. Allie McDonald, I believe her fourth win on the tour. Finished at minus 16 for $195,000. Okay. In second place, only one shot back was Miss Danielle Kane at minus 15. She won $115,000.
And by the way, if the LPGA is smart, you're going to make her the face of the tour, okay? Mm-hmm. She's got the personality.
Yep.
She's got the game.
Danielle Kane.
Danielle Kane should be the face of the tour, okay?
Yeah. Great.
Get off this Lexi Thompson
and she's cute
stuff.
Too. Yeah.
And go
and,
with
Bianca. Now, this last name... she came in third place. I'm going to just say Bianca. I'm not even going to chew up her last name.
Gagdam?
Yeah, that one. Okay. She $83,000. But she had some drives that were 300 plus, like 310, 315, 320, I believe, over the weekend, especially on Sunday when I was watching. Our girl, Mariah Stackhouse. Mariah Stackhouse finished tied for 31st at minus four. She made $9,144. She was the other person, other female, black female, that's, I'm putting air quotes on the tour. She wasn't even in the event, so she didn't even, I don't even know what was up with that. But
who we could also call the OBG, the other black girl.
Yeah, the OBG. Yeah, good, good point. Yeah. Yeah, because yeah, I don't think she embraces her blackness. So Mariah did good. I mean, she's T31, so she's making progress and she's making money. So that's always a positive. So we're gonna go quickly to the Olivia's million. There was a tie. The first lady is a rookie, so we're not even gonna talk about her. So we're gonna talk about Juliet Granada. They finished at plus 13. She won $2,293 at her with her last place finish. She's from Paraguay, but she currently resides in, of course, Orlando, Florida. 5'2", 33 years old. She started playing golf at the age of 4 years old.
Wow.
Joined the tour in 2006. So again, she's 33 years old.
Okay.
So
I'm sorry. What year was that?
She's 33 years old, and she started playing. She went pro in 2006. Okay, so that's four, 14?
Yeah. PG County math.
Let's go. 14. There you go. Okay, so now I can't give you much because the LPGA statistics are terrible. It's a total disgrace. She has one win. That's all I can give you. She's got one win.
Okay.
That was in 2006, the same year she turned pro. Oh, what is her career earnings?
Off of one win?
That's all I can. I'm telling you all. I gave you all I can give you. Talk to the LPGA about their statistics. It's a damn shame.
2006.
But you do know her career earnings.
Yes, I do. Okay. Yes, I have that number. Yes.
All right. Well, I guess I'll let the winner go first, or am I supposed to go first? Or?
Okay. I don't care. Whoever y'all.
So she's got one win.
One win.
But that was in 2006.
It 2006. Was money.
But she's been playing for 14 years. But I mean, who knows how many cuts she's made?
Clouds calculating for inflation, everyone. I'm trying to keep his win streak alive. Yep.
Okay.
He's taking it serious now, ain't he?
I am. I am. I'm going to go, which might be a little high, but I'm going to go 3.8 million.
Okay.
14 years.
Yeah. So
that's high.
Yeah. I'm going to go 750,000.
That's low.
Yeah.
Wow. Vern, I don't even know what you be thinking about.
I must have won.
Yeah. 4.2.
4.2 million.
I'm in his head.
He really is. I don't know what the way I'm doing.
I won 750,000. Like, what?
That's pretty bad. 14 years, huh?
That's pretty bad. Yeah.
She's not good.
She wouldn't be if she 14 years, $750,000. That's like part time money.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's funny.
4.8. We said it was 4.8.
4.2.
4.2. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
All right.
You know, and it's funny because, like, literally the thing I was thinking about was how she sounds similar to Carlotta Signata, who's won several times on the LPGA tour.
Right, her name.
So I'm like, wait, am I mistaken the two or not? So I just went high thinking. Mm. I'm pretty sure I'm thinking about the other one. But anyway, so that's the Olivia Millions for the stuff. Nothing on the PGA Tour besides the fact that we've been discussing heavily about the fact that Tiger Woods needs to go ahead and get on the senior tour with Phil Mickelson, right? Like, how much longer, guys, are you going to do this PGA? I think it's cool if every year they show up for the Masters. Right. And maybe the joint that's in Scottsdale, the waste management, you know what I mean? Just because
U.S. Open, maybe
the season off. Yeah, U.S. Yeah. Open. Show up for the majors. But the rest of the stuff, man, play on the senior tour. They're done.
Yeah.
Phil, I mean, so I was on somebody's, actually it was Tiger's feed on Instagram, and they were talking about, you know, Tiger and Phil going to be paired up the last day, like it was some big deal. And I I said they need to give it up, both of them, and do the senior champions tour full time, because they you know they stinking up the joint. It's something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And I got a lot of pushback on comments from people. I'm like, I'm just saying, it's the truth, you know?
Yeah.
And so I really stuck my put my fingers in my eyes, or have you on the texting, by texting this on Instagram. So the not Zara Golf, this other person that does a lot of golf videos, I started following. And they had one about playing music on the course.
Ah, yes.
And I said, I didn't come out here to listen to your music, your favorite songs. And I said, it's probably some SHI type music anyway.
Yeah, I think they got it.
I said, I like my peace and quiet. Listen to the birds and the, you know, the peace and quiet, whatever. Mm-hmm. The hate I got for that comment.
Really?
Woo, man.
This LB, welcome to the media. You got you know, exclusive passes to the long drive, the Capital Long Drive Champ. Then, you know, you're blasted on social media. Like, welcome.
Yes. So let's just say I probably got about at least 40 comments directed at me.
Wow.
From different people. And, you know, and out of the 40, 10 of them were probably positive. That was on my side.
Right.
Did anyone call you a racist?
No, they call me old. They call me a boomer.
A lot of age stuff.
Yeah, a lot of old, yeah, old man stuff. A lot of all that kind of stuff. So I'm done. I learned my lesson. I will never comment again on anybody's post unless you and I are friends. And yeah. I will say, nice picture, and I'll call it a day.
That's funny. There we go, ladies and gentlemen. So yeah, man. Again, we'll have more on the Capital Long Drive Championship when it airs on Golf Channel. If you look close enough, you might be able to see us. Something else that's coming up. They've got this, and we'll go out on this. They've got this, exhibition coming up Thanksgiving weekend with Phil Mickelson and Charles Barkley against Steph Curry and Peyton Manning. Any interest at all?
Very low. Like maybe on a scale of 10, maybe like a 4.
Okay.
And the team, is Peyton Manning terrible at golf? Because it seems that it would just be Phil Mickelson versus Peyton Manning and Steph Curry.
Yeah.
I think that's why they put Charles with Phil. So it basically is Phil versus them, because you've seen Charles play, right?
Yeah. And I thought Peyton was like, all right, I didn't think Peyton was as bad as Charles. So I was like, what are y'all doing? Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing, he's not, but like I think he is entertainingly bad as opposed to Tom Brady.
Yes.
Who it's hard to watch him. Like, no one wants to you watch him struggle around the course, you're bored.
It's awkward too.
If it's like Charles, he's at least entertaining, I guess.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, he's straight. Yeah. He is straight there for comic relief. It's not for his golf.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
You can watch that bad swing all the time and laugh at it, I guess.
Yeah. Feel good about yourself.
It's something good to have in the background after the holiday on a weekend, and you know,
that's true.
Trying to kick family out the house and stuff like, and trying to just get through it. You know,
Aren't you guys ready? Oh, I'm tired. Oh man, I should go take a nap.
And there we go, ladies and gentlemen. Another episode of Golf DMV, the Halloween edition. Although, if you listen on Federal News Network, it's past Halloween. It's a day past Halloween when you listen. Well, yeah, day past Halloween when you're listening to this. But Halloween, nonetheless, is 2020. So every day it's been like Halloween.
True indeed.
We'll catch up next week.